This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com. Welcome to The Showrunner, where we have one goal: teach you how to develop, launch, and run a remarkable show. Ready?
Welcome back to The Showrunner. Oh, crap.
Hang on. We're just roll with it. Just go with it.
Welcome back to The Showrunner. Today, we do not have an episode number for you, but we are going to talk about the risk of ignoring listener life cycles. I am one of your hosts, John Astor. I have many, many titles, but for you today, I am a showrunner co-host. And I'm joined by none other than my favorite co-host of all time, Mr. Jared Morris.
Jared. We will never have a greater intro to an episode. Welcome to The Showrunner. Oh, crap.
Oh, man.
I'm like crying over here. That's so funny. Jeez.
Oh, I haven't written this. I was all confused. Ignore me.
That's great. Hey, you know,
welcome, Jared. Welcome.
It's good to be here, Johnny. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so we decided to switch up the intro there because this is a different style of show. We're recording this in advance for some travel plans and to make up with time changes. And so we don't actually have an episode number for you because we don't know exactly where it will fit into the schedule. That being said, we have a really, really good topic that I think you're going to get a lot out of. And it's kind of an interesting one that Jared and I were both exploring ourselves with Assembly Call with Hack the Entrepreneur on Slack one day. And so the idea just came to us through that, and we added it to Trello. And now we're bringing it to you today.
Yes, we are. I'm excited about this. This is going to be a really good. This is the kind of thing I think people overlook, you know, or just forget about, because you can understand it and then you forget about it. And I think it's good to have a reminder. And for some folks, they won't have even thought in these terms yet. And it's really important that you do, especially as your show grows and your content and your audience starts to mature. You know, we sometimes forget about things like this, and you don't want to do that. And so we're going to explain to you why, what this is when we talk about listener life cycles, what we mean and why it's so important in this episode. And it'll be really worthwhile for you to listen to. But before we do that, we should do something a little bit different. You want to do things a little bit out of order today?
Let's shake things up.
You know, and the reason why we're doing this, we were doing a showrunner huddle, and someone asked us why they were not getting the responses to their call to action that they wanted. And one of the people who was in the chat, one of the great showrunner course members, posited that perhaps it is because the call to action is coming too late. And if you're going to put a call to action at the end of an email or the end of an episode, there are going to be some people who aren't around because maybe they just pop in for 10 minutes. Maybe whatever answer they were looking for, they get at the 15th minute and they don't listen all the way, or their commute ends and they can't listen all the way. And so they never get to your call to action. And we realized, well, we've been putting our calls to action for the showrunner course toward the end. Obviously, there are Rainmaker FM and Rainmaker Platform calls to action a little bit earlier than that. But the showrunner.fm, the email list call to action, is at the end. So we thought we need to follow our own advice, eat our own dog food, and put it more at the beginning and give those folks who maybe haven't listened all the way through an episode an opportunity to join the email list, because there are so many great reasons why you should be joining the showrunner. Johnny, do you want to elaborate on a few of those reasons for why people should be going to showrunner.fm, entering their email address, and joining the showrunner right now?
The best reason selfishly for me is that you get to hit reply to any of those emails, and then that gives you direct access to Jared and myself, which is exciting and fun. And it actually wasn't like this until quite recently, but now those emails are getting forwarded to me as well. So it's really cool. And so I'm looking forward to answering more questions, listening to more praise you know, all those wonderful things that you as a showrunner listener like to send Jared and I. But no, really, it should be a two-way conversation. We only get to speak to you and project our thoughts and ideas at you. And so I'd love for you to hit reply. There was another episode, actually, too, that Jared and I did recently about writing down and documenting ideas. And we like to document ideas, and we like to document ideas that we kind of come up with in our day-to-day, but also when ideas get sent to us by listeners. We would love to, if you have something you just would love to hear us talk about on an episode, we'd love to hear it. We can't do all of them, of course, but by all means, hit reply to any email when you're on the newsletter, and just let us know, and just we'll see if we can fit it in and work it through, and we'll add it to our Trello board.
Absolutely.
So without further ado, I think we should head into the main topic. What do you think?
Let's do it. I'm ready.
All right. So today, as I said, Jared and I were talking about, we weren't talking showrunner, we were talking as showrunners, I guess, of Hack the Entrepreneur and as Assembly Call. Jared was looking to put together his book, or he was putting together his book, and I think sort of cementing the idea of it. And so we were having a discussion sort of what I had learned launching the Hack the Entrepreneur book. And this was something that had come up to me after the fact. So it wasn't like I had this grand plan and this is how it sort of made sense to me. But looking back now and seeing how my audience has responded and sort of changed to it, it's really made me sort of step back and look at what we're going to call listener life cycles, which is like kind of the jumping in and jumping out points for our listeners. I think this is why, Jared, you said at the beginning that it's something that most people, like showrunners, I don't think we think of this, and it's kind of shows a sign of maturity in the show, but also as a showrunner, it does too. And I think if we do think of this as what we might even think as of too soon in our show's life, perhaps it's never going to be too soon, and it's probably going to help your show grow and mature even faster of thinking of your listener in this way. And sort of, we're going to break our listeners into three categories to kind of give you an idea. And as a side benefit, I also think that it helps because I think we try and struggle to hang on to every single listener that happens to stumble across us on iTunes or on Google Play. And I think it's fighting an uphill battle, and it's impossible to hold every listener. And that's not supposed to be the job of us as showrunners. And so I think this helps sort of ease that burden, but also allows us to provide for the people, for the listeners that are sticking around in the correct way.
It reminds me of that scene in Last of the Mohicans when Daniel Day-Lewis's character is like, stay alive. No matter what occurs, I will find you. And we're like that with every subscriber. It's like, no, sometimes it's okay for that subscription to die. It's all right. You know, it's going to happen. And I think the importance of this lesson and this idea of listener life cycles is, you know, we have to remember, it's kind of the curse of knowledge in a sense that as the showrunners, you know, we were there when our show began. We obviously all the way from the ideation phase to the first few episodes, and we've gone on this journey with our show. And if we don't step out of ourselves and truly look at it from our audience's perspective and truly approach our show running with empathy for our audience, we can get caught up in our experience and assume that our audience is having the exact same experience. And that's not going to be the case. People jump in, they jump out, they're really committed for a while, they're not, they come back. And we need to understand that. And we also need to realize that we need to give people perhaps other avenues to connect in a deeper way. Some people, you know, are going to want to just connect with the podcast and be those weekly listeners, and that's awesome. And other people are going to want to go further. And we want to start, as our shows get a little bit more mature, we want to start to open up some of those avenues so that people, you know, as they go through this natural listener life cycle, can kind of go in the way that best suits them instead of just the way that best suits us. And when we can do that, now we really create an experience that is remarkable, that is memorable, and that will lead to the kind of engaged audiences that we all want.
Think about this as we go through this. Think about it try and think about how you sort of react and how you consume new shows, what you do when you find a new podcast that you either end up really into or you end up just sort of passing. And I think that will really help sort of solidify the idea to you, because obviously you'll have way more experience with more shows as a listener than you will as a creator. So you can kind of see how you react and maybe even think about why you fell off in those ways or stayed, and then obviously use those to enhance your show to your listener. But discovery leads to consumption, right? So when we discover a show, no matter if that's through iTunes, through Google Play, through a share on Facebook or Twitter, whatever it happens to be, we generally consume a fair bit, right? We consume 3 episodes, 5 episodes, 10 episodes, maybe right sort of then within a couple days or even a week or so, I would think, because it's new, it's fresh. And so we want to just kind of dive into it and see what's there. I mean, it's one of the key reasons why we say, whenever you launch a new show, always have at least 3 episodes, because you need people to be able to dive in that natural sort of way. But then as that sort of trails off, so that first just bunch, like the first ones you download, I feel that people fall into 3 categories after that of listeners. And they're either become passersby, they become advocates, or they just become fans of your show. And we can move them through these naturally with the audio, or they will move naturally through it, and some people will and some people won't. But then there's also, when we, I think, understand the life cycle, we can sort of push people and hopefully help them come through the cycle themselves. So a passerby is somebody who goes through that initial discovery and consumption, and then they just fall off naturally. After a couple weeks or a few weeks, and there's so many podcasts out there right now. We all know that as consumers, there's so much just media in general. There's a lot of things for us to do, and you're never going to be the sole focus, and it's okay. And that's normal. Just like, I think of all the shows that I listen to 3 or 4 or 5 episodes, and then that's it. And it's not that I'm like, oh my God, I hate that person, I never want to listen to that show again. They're just other things that I want to do. And that's perfectly normal, and it's perfectly okay. And you really shouldn't, it's that whole 80-20 rule we talk about, like 80% of your stuff is 20% of your work is going to get you 80%, right? And you could fight that uphill battle to try and get some of those people to stay on, but it's just not worth it. I think you just have to accept that some of those people need to just go.
And the other thing to remember before we move on from passersby is just, you know, some of the reasons why this happens, so that it makes logical sense for folks. You know, some people may have listened to a couple episodes because they were looking for a specific answer to a specific question and they got it, but your content as a whole didn't necessarily speak to them. Like, Johnny, we've done episodes of The Showrunner on building an email list, and those are obviously specific for showrunning, but they could be applicable to someone with a blog and maybe people who like us but don't, from other shows that we've done but aren't into podcasts. They may come, they want to get our insight on an email list, but they don't care about, you know, staying motivated behind the mic and building mini courses from a podcast and all that stuff. So they come for an episode and they get their answer and they go. They're a passerby, and that's okay. Maybe they get distracted because they find some other shows that they just happen to like a little more. Okay. Maybe they were interested in a topic for a month and then they're not interested anymore. Okay. So they were a passerby. And I do think it's important to realize that that will happen, and we do want to constantly be replenishing those kind of top of the funnel passerby type folks that are coming in and experiencing the show for the first or second time for whatever reason it is, but not taking it personally and not fretting when they fall off, because it will happen. And as long as we can replenish that group of people, then the goal is to get them to take that next step. That's what's more important. And I think you and I, sometimes we see people that seem to be stressing a little bit too much about the passersby. And you've just got to understand that they are a big part of the people that will drive your downloads. And everybody's got to at least, you know, kind of have the potential to be a passerby at first, and then you move them forward. But it's okay, and it doesn't say anything bad about your show when that happens. It probably just says more about the consumption habits and the life situation of that person So don't take it personally.
Absolutely. Yeah. Good clarification. And yeah, the point is to, I think, to just sort of get an idea of these three types of listeners, so that you can then try and figure out what your listener cycle is and then move people through. I mean, because every, like you said, Jared, like every episode might even have its own little life cycle if you really want to get into it, because there are specific, like when we do a three-part series on a mini course, like that could bring people in. And I bet you that nobody, like, you're not out there listening and you can tell me that you can go to whatever it is you use for your statistics for downloads and tell me that there isn't one or two episodes that have got a significantly more downloads than other ones. And sometimes that's even hard to understand for, like, I look at it, it's like, wow, that's so strange, right? But those are people that got shared somewhere specifically, or something happened, or else it's a specific topic. And it's not that that's inherently bad at all. It's not. It's just, if you understand the life cycles and the three different types of listeners, then I want you to be able to now take other things external from your audio and hopefully move them from passersby down to, which is the next one, which is advocates.
Yeah.
So an advocate is, my example is going to be the James Altucher show. I totally dig James Altucher. I've been subscribed to his show since it started, and I have not listened to an episode in, I'm going to say, 8 or 9 months. So I'm an advocate. If somebody asked me, like I just said, I'm a fan. I like their show. I totally dig James Altucher. There's a lot of other shows to listen to, and I don't even listen to a lot of shows right now. That says nothing bad about James, but James understands listener life cycles, and I own 3 James Altucher books. I subscribe to his newsletter, and it doesn't matter that I don't listen to his podcast at that point. His podcast provided it's the value to me that it needed to provide, and it's still there if I want to listen to it. Yet he's taken me further onto another sort of experience and journey with him through other mediums now. And that's, I think, really, I mean, that's the essence of why this conversation's even happening, because I realized it when I put out a book that there was people that were coming and going and dropping off naturally, and that's totally fine. But I did it almost a year and a half of that before I offered them anything sort of deeper besides my newsletter, which people seem to really like. And I get people on my newsletter that have been reading my newsletter for 6, 7, 8, 9 months. And then I say something about an episode from like 2 weeks ago. I haven't listened to your show in months. That's nothing to take offense at. It's like, we are showrunners, but the show is meant to bring people into us, into our businesses, into our ideas, into whatever it is we're trying to enhance, but it's not necessarily the end game. And so when you understand that of a life cycle, of the listener cycle, then I think we can sort of take advantage of that better. And I think it just should be used to get you to produce things externally of just your audio content.
Yeah. By the way, James Altucher had an episode recently with Derek Sivers that is awesome. So if you are looking for a James Altucher episode to get back into and listen to, his interview with Derek Sivers is a great one to go back to. Just had to throw that in there.
I've been seeing that from James on Twitter a lot, and I am going to go back and listen to that one. I haven't. But that's because I'm an advocate. I would stand up and defend James. I would say he's one of my favorite podcasters. I just don't listen to him right now.
Yeah.
But I know I'll get back. And once I listen to one, I'll probably listen to 15 in a row, because that's how it works. I think that's how consumption, I don't think it's just me. I don't think I'm unique in that way. I think that's why Netflix binge watching has become a thing.
Well, and I think with shows too, I mean, you also, you know, a show will find its place in your subscription. And this is how I am with James. I'm an advocate, and I won't listen to a bunch in a row. But with a show like that, when I first find it, maybe. But then I think, you know, it's almost like a relationship. You know, you kind of go through that first, oh my God, I'm in love. I want to spend all my time with this person. But then eventually they're a subscription in your feed, and you always give them the respect of checking the headlines, seeing if it's interesting. And maybe it is, and you listen to it, or maybe it's not, and you pass. And that's kind of where I'm at with James. It's like a long-term podcasting relationship now. And, you know, I fell in love with it. I binged it. And now I always check it. I always see who he interviewed, read the description. If it looks interesting, I download it. If not, it goes. And there may be four or five episodes in a row that go that I don't listen to. And then, boom, I find one, and I'll tell other people about it. And that's, and you want to build those kind of advocates. That's really important to have.
Yeah. So we had passersby, we had advocates, and now we have fans.
Yeah.
And these people, again, every show is going to vary. Every type and style of show is going to vary of what even the listenership cycle or life cycle of a fan would be. It's not forever. We're not fans of things forever. I was going to say I was a fan of the Backstreet Boys before. I really wasn't, but I thought it was going to be a funny story. Be like, I was a huge fan of them, and now I totally despise them. You know what I mean? Like, people become fans of things, and it doesn't mean it's for life. But at that time, they will be the ones who will consume things. They're going to be the ones who, when you say a call to action, they do it, and they get onto your email list. They respond to you. They tell you they like you. They leave you ratings and reviews, all those things. That's the third cycle of people. Now I'm trying to figure out on the fly here if I could put a percentage sort of to these. I would think that passersby are going to make up probably 50% of your listenership at any given time. And then probably 40% advocates and then 10% fans. Advocates really will drive downloads numbers because, I mean, I've been downloading James Altucher shows for 8 months. They stop after three episodes of not listening. But still, he's there and I'm ready to listen. And I will continue to listen and download more shows. So that's the understanding of the three types of people. And now, as was alluded to after passersby with the different types of show, I think it is essential to kind of understand that, that every show will have, every style of show will even have a different sort of listener life cycle. So like an interview-based show, James Altucher, luckily Hack the Entrepreneur, I think they have longer life cycles because there's less of just me. So therefore, it's, although it's similar in format, and so people know it and like it and trust it, it's, the variable is 95%, meaning that the guest is different every single time and makes up a huge portion of the show. So people can stick around and I think not get tired of you and not get bored with it easier. And then there's like a topic-based show like this where I think people will come and go based on titles and based on like what the title of the episode is and what they need at that very time in their show running sort of sequence. And not that we can't get somebody to come in for an email, like a episode about email and list building, and then also perhaps get them with the right call to action, get them onto an email list, and then get them to join the course. So there is that part of the cycle. But I think it is different, and I think that there would probably be more passersby and maybe advocates in a show like that. And then there's like the free course, which I think we've alluded to. A good friend of mine created one in the CMA, so it's for accountants. And he has a course where he helps people pass the exam, and I talked him into creating a podcast. And so he created a free course podcast. I believe it's 8 or 9 or 10 episodes long. And that's it. Like, that is literally, he's not trying to build fans. He's not even trying to build advocates at that time. Everybody's kind of a passerby. So every episode has to be full of content, really, really provide true value and really, really strong calls to action. And he has a really strong sort of funnel and idea of what he wants every single listener. If they listen to one episode once, what he wants them to do. And what he's picked is he's created an ebook that's a really, really super valuable, great ebook, and it's completely free if you give me your email. And from that, he has an email sequence that leads into people that can join a webinar forum where he then goes to try and sell the course. And that's just it. There's he could bash his head against the wall for as long as he wants, but you're not going to find a fan for a free course podcast. And that does not decrease the value of his free course podcast, and it doesn't decrease the value of it for his business or for what he's trying to accomplish. But he knows what the life cycle is, and he knows what he's trying to accomplish with each and every episode. And I think that that's all that I'm really trying to get across to you is to try and step back and think about your passersby, your advocates and your fans. Think of things you can create externally, like maybe a book, maybe an ebook, maybe a report, maybe if it's simple as a newsletter that you write out once a week, but try and use things external from how they've found you and see if you can turn passersby now into advocates and then advocates into fans. Because I don't think we can do it by just hammering people with more and more audio. It truly is. They now need something sort of to go deeper with and to take them further on that journey with you.
Yeah, you'll be able to do it with some people, but you'll be able to do it with a lot more people if you have these other avenues for them to go on. You know, it's like with the Assembly Call, which is a very seasonal show. I mean, it's very intense during the basketball season. And then we've tried to do more now in the off season just to kind of stay top of mind, you know, give people good quality content and so they don't forget about us. But now putting out a book after the season, which is an anthology looking back at the season, here's this new way now for folks who are really, really excited, you know, about the show during the season. Now they have a way to engage with us kind of in the off season. And for, you know, for people who maybe they listen to an episode or two, but, you know, podcasting isn't really their thing, but they kind of like the idea of passionate fan reaction combined with expert analysis, because usually you get one or the other. And that's kind of our thing, is you get both. Now they have this other way to engage, right? This book that has all of our thoughts and you know, it encompasses all of this, but they don't have to be a podcast listener to engage with it. And that's important because those people, again, they can help spread the word to people who are into podcasts that may listen to the show, or other people who are into the books, or other people who want to follow on Twitter. And that's all great. We want to build, you know, our bigger, wider audience like that. But we've got to have these other avenues for people to take that next step with. And I think it's that's why it's so important to understand these life cycles and to understand the general life cycle of a show like yours, kind of like Johnny just talked about, and just to understand your own unique listener life cycle from your show. I mean, I think you should have that level of intimate knowledge with your audience just by seeing trends, interacting with people, you know, seeing how certain people's interaction is really engaged and then falls off. You should start to see that and kind of get a feel for it. And it doesn't mean that you have to know it perfectly, but there should be just kind of an intuition, a gut feeling that you get with your audience as a showrunner. I mean, I really feel like if you don't feel like you have that, you know, I think that's part of being a real showrunner. That's part of the authentic connection. It's part of what you get with the sustainability when you show up and show up reliably and show up reliably over time. So I think that's really important. And being able to do these things for your audience will help you get that and extend the relationship that you're able to have with them. But before we go any further, Johnny, I know that you're thinking that you could just say this and then filibuster and we'd all forget about it. But Johnny Punk Rock Naster likes the Backstreet Boys. Was that?
that was so weird. I don't know where that came from because, yeah, that's
okay.
I'm going to be putting in a request to the editor to remove all of that. But
and I will be putting in an emphatic request to pull it out and play it at the beginning of every episode.
Okay, so that was one last point I wanted to make, because playing something at the beginning of the episode, I think understanding life cycles has another sort of benefit as a showrunner, which is when you think that you have said your call to action to death, and when you are getting tired of being so, you're so strict with your format that it's following the same sequence and it's getting so comfortable and kind of maybe boring to you, we have to remember that life cycles are that there's also those jumping in and out points, like I have with James Altucher, like people have maybe with this show, like we all have with so many shows, that people come and go, especially advocates, right? They come and go where they can be turned into fans. But when they come and go, when they come again in a month or in 2 months, it needs to make sense. Like if it's so much more beneficial that you can move them along if the show still makes sense, if it sounds the same, but it's different content, but it's the music's there, the format's there, the same people are there, they're saying the same things at the beginning, and they're saying this call to action that they might have said 12 times in the last 3 months, but I'm hearing it for the first time because I'm just jumping back in. You're the showrunner who's had to say that 12 times for the last 12 weeks, But remember that your advocate might be just coming back in. So if you fail to say that call to action that one time because you're bored with it and you think that everybody's listening to every single episode and they're bored with it too, they're not. They're not listening and they're not bored with it. You are. And if you understand this sort of jumping in and out, it'll make you more confident to know that you have to get that call to action there every single time and really get a solid format that you stick to. So when people jump in and out, they're comfortable and they know where they're at in with you and with the show.
Very well said. It's so important. I couldn't say it better myself.
I wish I had a Backstreet Boys song right now I could possibly even get to, but it's just I don't at all.
I should probably, well, if you were to ask around to folks that I work with, there may or may not be kind of an infamous copy blogger company meetup where four individuals who shall remain nameless might have done just a stirring rendition of I Want It That Way at karaoke night one time in Austin, Texas. I will neither confirm nor deny that I was part of that group or that I might have sang lead on the song. But we're editing all this out, right? So we can be candid with all this stuff.
Exactly, exactly. Tell me your deepest, darkest secrets, Jared. Right. I think you just did. If that's not it, then I don't want to hear it.
New headline for this episode, the one about the Backstreet Boys. Everybody would be like, what the hell happened there? yes. Hey, so speaking of this, we need to do a podcast recommendation. So speaking of podcast recommendations, let me ask you, because you know, you talk about an interview show, and I do think it's, I think interview shows especially interview shows that we really like, you know, they're going to have a lot of advocates because we like the person, you know, we like the format of the show, but I think it's really hard for an interview show to capture you to the point where you're going to like every single guest, and especially if it's an interview show that's multiple times a week that you can actually get to. You may have intentions of listening to every episode, but you probably can't get to every episode. Now, I'm sure there are some people who are able to do that, but the vast majority, I think, of true engaged interview audience members are probably going to be at the advocate level. So me, for instance, I am an advocate of Hack the Entrepreneur. Love that show. Obviously love the host of that show. And I will recommend it to everybody, but I can't listen to every single episode. So why don't you recommend to me, an advocate of your show, a recent episode that I might have missed that I absolutely need to jump in and listen to? And there's probably other Hack the Entrepreneur advocates listening to this episode as well, who will appreciate kind of knowing, having a good direction for a jumping back in point for Hack the Entrepreneur.
Hey, that's an interesting...
Not to put you on the spot.
That's an interesting thing to throw at me. Let's say...
I'm going to go download it right now.
I don't really totally 100% remember this episode. It was only 10 ago, but episode 215... How to Expand Your Thinking by Catherine Plano. And it's weird because usually they stick out to me as I'm doing the call. Like the conversations that get me the most emails and tweets, it's like, yeah, totally. I get that. I totally. But this one, for some reason, I must have just been doing a whole bunch or else I was during my like when I was sick. And so not to slight Catherine at all because she's brilliant, obviously. But got a ton of emails and tweets and stuff about Catherine and that conversation. So I guess I would have to recommend that one to you.
Catherine Plano. She is the founder of the I Am Woman Project and the founder and editor-in-chief of I Am Woman Magazine. She's passionate about inspiring individuals, leaders, and businesses to transform, build, and create powerful, affecting, and lasting change, both within themselves and their organizations. And I like that.
Yeah.
All right, I'm downloading it. I'm jumping back in.
I'm gonna move you from an advocate to a fan.
Thank you. And if you'd like me to recommend an episode of the Assembly Call for you, if you want to find out about Indiana basketball offseason, you just let me know.
Sure, do it. I think I'm already turning into a fan because I bought the book and I recommend fully that everybody is there. How can we tell people about your book? If nothing else, if you are not into Indiana basketball as much as I am and as much as Jared is, that was kind of like a Backstreet Boys joke. I don't even know where Indiana is actually on a map. And I'm not really quite sure what basketball is, but the book is really good. the book is really well done. And I love that you took it from emails, and I love the format of the emails. I love the different voices between the writers, and I love the extension of it from the podcast. And I said this to you on Slack when I bought it and I read it that night, and then I told you the next day that it's an amazing lesson for showrunners. It's like $3. You can buy it on Amazon. Jared's going to tell you what it's called and where to get it, but for $3, if nothing else, to take it and read it with the thought of how can you do this exact same thing. And I know Jared's emails are probably going to slightly change this year now so that they fit a book even better next year, which kind of happens. But yeah, it's something you can do. His emails are now being turned into books like my emails were. So I think we should recommend Jared's book, and Jared's going to tell you where to get it.
Well, thank you. Yeah, you can go to assemblycall.com/BTA, and that will redirect you to the Amazon page where you can get it. Hopefully, by the time this episode comes out, the actual hard cover book, like the actual physical book, will be out. But probably for folks listening to this, you're not huge Indiana fans. But if you want to use it more as an example to see, okay, how do I kind of repurpose content that I was, you know, using for one thing, for emails, and now turn it into this new thing, you know, like Johnny did with the Hack the Entrepreneur book. That's what I tried to do with this, is to take that, and now it's a new way for people to engage with the content, and for a lot of the reasons like we talked about today in this episode. So if you go to assemblycall.com/BTA, you will get there. And it's called Better Than Advertised, the story of the 2015-16 Indiana Hoosiers. And we took that quote, Better Than Advertised, from a nickname that one of my co-hosts on the show actually gave to one of the players. He kept calling him Better Than Advertised throughout the season, and so it kind of became a punchline throughout the year. And then when the team did better than everybody thought, it ended up being the perfect title for the book. And it's a nice little, you know, it's one of those, you do want to engage wider with your audience, but you want to try to really develop that true long-term authenticity. You have to strike this balance between, you know, being accessible enough for new people that they can get in, but also maintaining that deep connection with your older long-term fans. And sometimes having these little inside jokes, these little winks at the people who you know are going to get the joke, those remind them that, hey, you know, there are a lot of other fans, you know, out there. There's a lot of people who listen. You know, there's some passersby. There's even some advocates, but I'm a fan. And you can actually strategically do things to help get people leaning in and taking that next step in with you. And I learned this from a radio station here in Dallas. I know I've talked about it before. But, you know, and that's why Johnny and I will have our little inside jokes at the start of the show, and, you know, Johnny's little nicknames about being a coffee aficionado, and how much we'll go on and on about those. Those are done in part, yes, to have fun, to do a little casual intro, but also for the people who have been around for a while, it's their little inside joke that they get. And that's, you know, the name of the book. That's what that is. For the people who listen to our show, you know, they'll see that Better Than Advertised, and they'll immediately kind of associate it with our show from this season. And for other people who are just more passersby or new, it'll make sense enough that it looks like a good title, but they might not get the underlying meaning. But always look for those opportunities with your audience. That's another way to help get people, you know, with these life cycles, to maybe turn a passerby into an advocate, and to turn an advocate into a fan, is to have those little inside moments that they can engage further with you, because they really do work, and they mean a lot to your audience members, because it makes them feel like part of something bigger. And that's what we're all trying to create.
I know that right now you are listening and all you're thinking is, Jared, you're better than advertised. So I'm going to say it for you, the listener, because Jared, my trusty co-host, is definitely better than advertised. And grab his book, assemblycall.com/BTA.
Thank you, Johnny.
Well, this has been fun.
This has been fun.
Now you're thinking, you're out there thinking like, okay, well, how about like the listener cycle within an episode? And I'm getting kind of tired of listening to you guys.
Yes. There's a lot of passersby that are exiting the off-ramp right now.
Now this is where we get into the discussion of how we've just turned fans into advocates and advocates into passersby and passersby into people wishing they never found us.
By the way, I love the irony of how you talked about how important it is at the beginning of an episode. You know, like it needs to feel familiar. You kind of need to be able to orient people. I'd like to harken back to the beginning of this episode when Johnny started it off with, "Welcome to the showrunner." Oh, crap.
Wow.
Best episode ever.
Yeah, if all this stuff stays in, I don't have the power to fire our editors. I wish I did, though, because nobody listens to me in the editing department.
We've already created the precedent that we turn the microphone on and we let our listeners in. They can't be here live, but we try not to edit things. We want our listeners to, you know, look, our listeners know that we could polish these episodes up and make them sound professional. We have Toby frickin' Lyles as our editor, okay, from 24 Sound. He could take this, remove ums and you knows and oh craps and stutters and false starts and all that stuff. And
it could sound like my track, basically.
It could sound like,
basically just turn John off.
It could sound like the most polished podcast episode ever. But the showrunner listener doesn't want that. They want to be here with us while we record and see how the sausage is made. They want to peek behind the curtain. That's what we give folks. And that's why you get these episodes that from quote unquote professional podcasters and showrunners, we leave the warts in. And that's for your benefit. And it's for those inside joke moments so that people really feel like they're a part of something. They're not just listening to this old polished podcast episode. It's like they were sitting in the chair right here while we recorded it. There's an intimacy that comes from that. So that's why we do that.
Now let's all go to Twitter or go to Facebook and track me down and let's talk about the Backstreet Boys.
Let's do it.
All right. This has been fun.
It has been fun.
So I guess until next time.
Yeah. We'll talk to you later.
We'll see you on the next episode.
That way.
So staying up this.
Tell me why. Okay, stop the recording now before I do anything else to embarrass myself.
Oh, wow. Oh, there's that.